Text 6, Chapter 6. Are Malthus's predicted 1798 food shortages coming true? 1798, Thomas Robert Malthus famously predicted that short-term gains in living standards would inevitably be undermined as human population growth outstripped food production, and thereby drive living standards back towards subsistence. We were, he argued, condemned by the tendency of population to grow geometrically, while food production would increase only arithmetically. For 200 years, economists have contended that Malthus overlooked technological advancement, which would allow human beings to keep ahead of the population curve. The argument is that food production can indeed grow geometrically, because production depends not only on land, but also on know-how. More generally, advances in technology in all its aspects, agriculture, energy, water use, manufacturing, disease control, information management, transport, communications, can keep production rising ahead of population. These critiques of Malthusian pessimism have long seemed irresistible. Indeed, when I trained in economics, Malthusian reasoning was a target of mockery, held up by my professors as an example of a naive forecast gone wildly wrong. Some economists have gone so far as to argue that high and rising populations have been a major cause of increased living standards, rather than an impediment. In that interpretation, the eightfold increase in population since 1798 has also raised the number of geniuses in similar proportion, and it is a genius, above all, that propels global human advance. A large human population, so it is argued, is just what is needed to propel progress. Yet the Malthusian spectre is not truly banished, indeed far from it. Our increase in know-how has not only been about getting more outputs for the same inputs, but also about our ability to mine the earth for more inputs. The first industrial revolution began with the use of fossil fuel, specifically coal, through Watt's steam engine. Humanity harnessed geological deposits of ancient solar energy, stored as coal, oil, and gas, to do our modern bidding. We learned to dig deeper for minerals, fish the oceans with larger nets, divert rivers with greater dams and canals, appropriate more habitats of other species, and cut down forests with more powerful land-clearing equipment. In countless ways, we have not gotten more for less, but rather more for more, as we've converted rich stores of natural capital into high flows of current consumption. Much of what we call income, in the true sense of adding value from economic activity, is actually depletion instead, or the running down of natural capital. If we indeed run out of inexpensive oil and fall short of food, deplete our fossil groundwater and destroy remaining rainforests, and gut the oceans and fill the atmosphere with greenhouse gases that tip the Earth's climate into a runaway hothouse with rising ocean levels, we might yet confirm the Malthusian curse. Yet none of this is inevitable. In the coming decades, we will have to convert to solar power and safe nuclear power, both of which offer essentially unbounded energy supplies, if harnessed properly and with improved technologies and social controls. We will need to rethink modern diets and urban design to achieve healthier lifestyles that can also cut down on energy-intensive consumption patterns. And we will have to help Africa and other regions to speed the demographic transition to replacement fertility levels in order to stabilize the global population at around 8 billion. There is nothing in such a sustainable scenario that violates the Earth's resource constraints or energy availability. Yet we are definitely not yet on such a sustainable trajectory, and our current market signals do not lead us to such a path. We will need new policies to push markets in a sustainable manner and to promote technological advances in resources saving rather than resource mining. We will need a new politics to recognise the importance of a sustainable growth strategy and global cooperation to achieve it. Have we beaten Malthus? After 2 centuries, we still do not really know.